Radio Prague News.
President Klaus has signed into law a bill acknowledging former President Václav Havel's contribution to freedom and democracy. Health workers' trade unions have warned against planned restrictions of access to healthcare, and record high temperatures have been registered across the Czech Republic. President Václav Klaus on Friday signed into law a bill confirming former President Václav Havel's role in modern Czech history. The bill, which states that Václav Havel served freedom and democracy, was approved by both houses of the Czech Parliament, where it received backing from all political parties, with the exception of the communists. Two other Czech leaders were similarly honored in the past, Tomáš Garrigue Masaryk in 1937 and Edvard Beneš in 2004. The former president, dissident and playwright Václav Havel died last December at the age of 75. German Chancellor Angela Merkel is set to visit the Czech Republic in early April, Czech radio reported on Friday, quoting diplomatic sources from both countries. Ms. Merkel will come to mark the 20th anniversary of the signing of the Czech-German Declaration, a document that brought reconciliation into the mutual relations of the two countries after the burdens of the 20th century. During her 1.5-day stay, Chancellor Merkel will meet with Czech Prime Minister Petr Nečas and President Václav Klaus. Czech Foreign Minister Karel Schwarzenberg has denied media reports that he was quitting the country's centre-right government over disputes with the Prime Minister. The Czech news website Insider reported on Thursday that Mr. Schwarzenberg had decided to step down in protest against the Prime Minister's refusal to join the EU's fiscal treaty. However, the report was denied by both Prime Minister Petr Nečas and Foreign Minister Karel Schwarzenberg, who said the reporters were losing their minds. Czech health workers' trade unions on Friday warned against planned restrictions of access to healthcare. Union leaders called on Health Minister Leoš Heger to reconsider the move. In support of their demands, the unions will stage a rally outside the Health Ministry building on the 27th of March, the head of the union, Dagmar Žitníková, said. The Health Ministry is planning to overhaul the system of providing healthcare so that patients have guaranteed access to all specialists within 40 minutes' drive from their homes. The unions say, however, that this will drastically restrict healthcare in the regions and will in effect lead to the closing down of hospitals, polyclinics as well as doctors' practices. Police in central Moravia have raided two marijuana farms, confiscating over 1,000 cannabis plants and more than 16 kilograms of dried marijuana, a police chief said on Friday, adding that the street value of the drug is estimated at 3 million crowns. The police also arrested two men, aged 37 and 27, who face up to 12 years in prison for the production of illicit substances. In football, Chelsea FC with Czech goalkeeper Petr Čech were drawn against the Portuguese side Benfica Lisbon in the quarterfinals of the Champions League. The first leg is scheduled for the 27th or 28th of March in Lisbon, while the second is to be played in London on the 3rd or 4th of April. Petr Čech has welcomed the draw but warned Benfica was a strong opponent, which knocked out Russia's FC Zenit. Chelsea FC secured a spot in the Champions League last 16 when on Wednesday they defeated Italy's SSC Napoli 4-1 in extra time after having lost 3-1 in the first leg in Naples. And finally, a brief look at the weather. Record high temperatures were registered at over 40 weather stations across the Czech Republic on Friday, with temperatures hikes of 6 and 7 degrees Celsius over the last 24 hours. The highest temperature of 20.4 degrees was recorded in Český Krumlov. The oldest record, 15.1 degrees Celsius from 1899, was broken in the central Bohemian town of Příbram. And a spell of nice and warm spring weather is set to continue over the weekend, with clear skies and daytime highs ranging between 16 and 20 degrees Celsius. My name is Jan Richter and it's the end of the news.
Hello and welcome to Radio Prague, the international service of Czech radio. I'm Christian Falvey. Many thanks for tuning in. Today, transport vehicles used by the Czech military in Afghanistan receive new armor. After that, we'll have a look at the news from the week in business. And in this week's arts, we talk to Slovenian director and FAMU graduate Olmo Omerzu about his new film, A Night Too Young. I hope you'll be staying with us today for all that and more here on Radio Prague. Additional transport vehicles used by the Czech military in Afghanistan are to receive added protection developed by defense firm VOP-026 Sternberg. Cage or slat armor capable of defending against rocket-propelled grenades or shape-charged warheads. Lightweight and made of superior alloy steel, the slat armor can consistently save lives in attacks that otherwise would almost certainly prove fatal. Jan Wellinger has the details.
Czech personnel serving in Afghanistan will see their transporters outfitted soon with new cage armor capable of stopping RPGs or missile attacks, in many cases snuffing out the explosions themselves and preventing the piercing of the plate metal of the vehicles. The head of R&D at the company, Stanislav Rold, says in practice the new slat armor has proven very effective. He told me more about its use.
This is the protection against handheld rockets, anti-tank rockets, like RPG-7 and similar threats. We started the development of the product in the year 2010, in the spring. We had only 2 months for developing of the first type of slat armor in Czech Republic, and after that we immediately started producing for vehicles for Afghanistan. Vehicles, it means Pandur Type 8.
Cage armor is not a new concept, but the first Czech version has reportedly proven lighter and considerably cheaper than US, German and other international versions, costing the Czech army a sum of just 4 million crowns. According to Stanislav Rolz, without the cage protection, personnel carriers and their crew are under much greater threat. And here's how the armor works.
The principle is very simple. In the warhead is some initiation system based on a piezoelectric nose and ignition. And the electrical circuit goes from the nose to the ignition through double wall. And due to interaction with rod or slat armor, that is formed electrical short circuit. Successful, of course, interaction. There is no explosion or very limited explosion.
In terms of percentiles, VOP-026 Stenberg slat armor is effective in up to 70% of cases. Along with the Pandur Bi-8s already equipped in Afghanistan, Czech crews will welcome smaller vehicles being included as well.
Many thanks to Jan Wellinger for that report. This is Radio Prague. And now, as always of a Friday, it's time for a look back at the news from the week in business, prepared this time by Sarah Barufka.
Czech banks are in the process of committing to a 1 billion euro loan to the energy group Energetický a Průmyslový Holding, according to a report by the Reuters agency, which cites two sources from the banking sector. Should the loan be finalized, it would be the largest club deal in history on the domestic market, with up to 12 banks expected to join. EPH is applying for the 6-year partial refinancing loan to finance its ambitious expansion strategy in Germany, Slovakia and the Czech Republic. Among the banks involved are UniCredit, the Erste Group's Česká spožitelná, ČSOB, and the local unit of ING. Over 20 companies in the electricity, heating and coal sector are part of EPH.
Škoda Auto has offered its workers a wage increase of 4% in the 9th round of negotiations between unions and the company's management. Manufacturing workers had asked for an increase of 6.5%. The next round of talks is set to take place on Tuesday. Škoda Auto unions have threatened a strike and, along with the pay increase, are also demanding an increase in bonuses and an incentive share in the company's record profits. Škoda Auto sold 879,000 cars in 2011, a year-on-year increase of 15%. The average wage for manufacturing workers was 32,000 crowns in 2010, according to the unions.
According to the Czech Agrarian Chamber, the retail price of eggs in the Czech Republic is not expected to rise further after a steep incline in their cost in recent weeks. Egg production across the EU dropped as a result of a recent EU directive on laying hen farms. By consequence, the Czech market was hit by increased prices for eggs. The president of the chamber, Jan Veleba, has blamed politicians for taking a wrong approach to laying hen farming, which had led to the country's dependence on imports of eggs. He added that while prices would not drop to the previous rate of 2 to 3 Czech crowns per piece, their cost would stabilize somewhat over the coming weeks and months.
Fuel prices in the Czech Republic have hit a record high. According to data from the Czech Statistical Office, the most sold petrol type, Natural 95, currently retails for 36.61 Czech crowns per litre, up by 0.15 crowns as compared to the previous week. Experts predict that fuel prices will continue growing. Domestic carriers have started passing on the increased petrol prices to customers. The biggest association of carriers, Česmad Bohemia, is pushing for a contractual solution that will allow rises in fuel prices to be passed on to customers automatically.
And the American coffee shop chain Starbucks will open its 13th Czech location in the Moravian city of Ostrava in late March. It is the first shop to open outside of the capital. The new location will feature an unusual interior design that is meant to reflect the region's mining past. It will be dominated by wood and metal and be unlike any other location in the country. Starbucks is also planning to expand its presence in other Czech cities, such as Brno and Prague.
Zara Barufka there. If you're just tuning in, then thank you for joining us. You're listening to Radio Prague, the international service of Czech radio. I'm Christian Falvey. It's not every film student that gets his premiere at the International Film Festival in Berlin, to be sure, but such was the fortune of Olmo Omerzu, a FAMU graduate from Ljubljana, Slovenia, and our guest in this week's Arts. His graduate film, called A Night Too Young, or Príliš mladá noc, had its world premiere in the Forum section of the Berlinale, which generally selects highly original, highly provocative works. A Night Too Young is both of these things, a story of a party of three consternated adults shared by 2 12-year-old boys who have no idea that they are about to grow up very fast. I met with Olmo Omerzu this week on the occasion of the film's domestic premiere and asked him first of all about his Czech connection and how it came to be.
It was mostly only because of FAMU. In Slovenia we have like this big tradition, a lot of film students were studying at FAMU. So it's quite a big issue, this school in Slovenia.
How did that come to be? Do you know? How did FAMU gain such renown in Slovenia?
It's coming from this Yugoslavian days, you know, all these generations, directors as Emir Kusturica or Slovenian cameraman, director of photography, Vilko Filac. These were really like famous people who were studying at FAMU already in 70s or 60s, I think.
Your new film, A Night Too Young, which premieres on Friday, was a graduate film.
Yeah, it was.
But you managed to extend it. A graduate film would normally be 45 minutes, as I understand it, and you extended it to just over an hour. And you also got it into the Berlinale. So I guess a lot of people, or the right people, saw a lot of promise in this film from the beginning. Is that the case?
Yeah, also, but this wasn't really typical FAMU film, because we have a co-production with Endor Film and FAMU, and then also a Slovenian producer. So we had the opportunity to make this feature film, you know, because regularly at FAMU we are doing only short films. So it was quite important for us all.
So how far will you be able to take it? Will it go into general distribution elsewhere in Europe?
We have a German distribution and Slovakian one and Slovenian also. So it's quite a big success, I think.
Now, at the basic level, it's a film about 2 12-year-olds who are involved in a party of adults. How did you come upon an idea like that?
The film is based on a script of Bruno Hayek, and then we were rewriting it with Jakub Felsman. So the first idea was that Bruno's got a friend who were telling him the situation, the story, which happened, I don't know, this 1 year after New Year's Eve.
It really did happen.
Yeah, it did happen, yeah. It's like it's based on a true story, actually. So, so it's. But then we were making it into the fiction. So,
and what exactly did you change, and why? What did you want to be there that wasn't originally?
More or less, for example, the motivations of the characters. That is more story about the love relations, and about power games, which are happening in the constellations of their love relationships. So this was like the we were doing more psychological movie, but at first draft of the script it was more grotesque in a way. So this was the mainly changes.
What was it like for you as a young director to deal with such a heavy topic? Were you not worried about getting into something so deep?
Not so much. I wasn't afraid. It was. It's always for me a kind of. It's interesting for me to try to do this more psychological movies, hard topics, but also it's in another way. It's also it's not a comedy, but it's got a lot of grotesque sequences, or there is a sarcasm in this movie also. So, for example, in Berlinale. They were like quite often laughing at the projection, so I was quite happy about it that they saw in the movie also this funny situations, not only tragedy.
This is something I often notice in Czech audiences, that the more tragic a scene is, the louder the laughter can be. Have you had that experience as well?
Yeah, sometimes, but this was our purpose also, that we were working with this really tiny borderline. When you're doing really intense, tragic situations, there is always a tiny borderline with the comedy, you know, so I know this, so I was working with this also.
Would you say, is this a Czech or a Slovenian film or both, or what are the influences?
It's interesting case with this fact, because when I'm showing this film, for example, in Czech Republic or to the Czech audience, they usually say that it's not Czech, or they don't feel that this is like this Czech atmosphere. Also with my previous works, what was I doing at FAMU? And when I'm showing it in Slovenia, they say like, yeah, it's not Slovenian movie. We don't see nothing common with Slovenian films. So I don't know where to put it.
But do you feel that you've been influenced by Czech cinema in the last 5 years living in the Czech Republic?
Also before I went to FAMU, I was quite interested in period of new wave in the 60s to the Czech cinematography. For example, I was quite big fan of films, and I'm still a quite big fan of films of Věra Chytilová or Jan Němec. So they were, and they still are, big influence for me. At FAMU, I really appreciate that we were concentrated in only artistic aspects of the film. I think that this is quite radical way of doing it. A lot of people have problems with it, that at FAMU there is no commercial cinematography or something, that you are studying only like this author cinematography. So I think that this is really important, because it's not common in Europe also. You know, there is always this kind of aspect that at school you should learn like everything, you know, also like this commercial basics or basic of film language. And not so much like this author cinematography, which is also problematic. You know, it's not so easy to get the money at the film industry. It's not easy to get the money for kind of radical things. So for me, it was really important to study this kind of artistic things.
And did you have any previous experience directing children?
For example, my first movie, when I did it when I was, I don't know, 13 or 14, in Slovenia, I won some competition at Slovenian television. I was working on a script about a boy who was a fugitive from a Balkan war. And I was also, at that time, I was doing castings with these fugitives. A lot of fugitives were living in Slovenia. They seemed kind of these special areas where they were only like living for 1 year. So I was doing their castings with them. So this was my first experience of working with children.
But in A Night Too Young, we see the 12-year-olds, or they're not really 12-year-olds, are they? But they look like 12-year-olds. They're supposed to be 12-year-olds, and they're drinking alcohol, and they're smoking and sharing kisses with adults. What was it like to film this?
It wasn't such a big problem, because in reality, they are 15 years old. But when I was casting them, I was looking for the type that they should be looking younger. But this fact that they were like 15 or 16 years old, it was for me easier to work with them because they are more or less adult persons. So it wasn't a big problem. But the effect of when you see this young boy who is really looking like 12 and he's doing these things, it's really big, you know, this effect.
Do they feel comfortable with it?
I think so. You know, when you're shooting, there is not so intense. Nothing gets intense, you know, because you're doing one shot and you're doing for a whole day or for half a day, you know. And there is no this, like, dramatic atmosphere or something. This tension and dramatic atmosphere, it starts in the editing room when you put all these shots together. And then you see this, like, drastic thing. But when we were doing these shots, it was, like, kind of normally, you know. You said only, like, do this and he make it, you know. But it, I think that they know these things, you know, that they are probably were doing maybe something like this. It wasn't new for them, you know. And I'm not sure if, for example, we'll be like, I don't know, watching what 15 years old kids are doing, you know, it will be even more drastic things or something, you know. So I don't think that the things that they're doing in A Night Too Young, that they are too much, or that they are after the borderline of normality or something.
And so what comes next for you? Do you want to stay with psychological dramas, or what do you plan for the near future?
I'm preparing, or I'm writing a script. It's called Family Movie. It's a working title. I'm also preparing it with Jiří Konečný, which is producer of A Night Too Young also. And we hope that we'll start doing it next year, at the end of the next year.
That was film director Olmo Omerzu, ending that edition of The Arts. Topping off our show for today is the next edition of our language learning series, The ABCs of Czech, brought to you by Pavla Horáková and Vladimír Tax.
Hello and welcome again to The ABC of Czech. Last time we finished with farm animals, and now we proceed on to animals living in the wilderness. The Czech word for animal as such is similar to the term for wild animals or beasts.
Zvíře
means just animal, of course, with all its figurative meanings. The other word,
zvěř,
means a wild animal. There's a third similar word,
zvěřina,
which means game or venison. So, once again,
zvíře,
animal,
zvěř,
wild animals,
zvěřina,
venison. Today we start with the bigger forest animals, and the first one will be the deer.
Jelen.
A beautiful, lithe, graceful animal, but easily startled and confused. Otherwise, our ancestors would not have coined the phrase
to jsem z toho jelen.
Roughly, this makes me a deer, meaning I am very confused, I cannot make head or tail of it.
To jsem z toho jelen.
English has a newer expression proving that deer are easily terrified and can behave unpredictably. They simply stand and stare like deer caught in the headlights. The female deer, the doe, is a symbol of grace in many languages. Unlike the stare of her mate caught in the headlights, the look of a doe's eyes is thought to be stunning.
Má oči jako laň.
She has eyes like a doe. She's doe-eyed. If a woman runs in a graceful way, we say she has the run of a doe.
Běhá jako laň.
Or she runs like a roe.
Běhá jako srna.
That usually makes men behave like rutting stags.
Jelen v říji.
Literally, like deer in the rutting season. The month of October is called
říjen
in Czech just because it is the rutting season of stags.
Jelení říje.
In Czech, men who are cheated on by their wives are said to wear deer's antlers.
Parohy.
To cuckold one's husband is
nasadit parohy.
To put antlers on his head, which makes the man in question a
parohač.
Literally, a stag with a huge pair of antlers. But we're getting onto thin ice here, so we'd better say goodbye. Till next time.
Naschledanou.
That was Pavla Horáková and Vladimír Tax with the ABCs of Czech, wrapping up Radio Prague's English program for today. Don't forget, this program and every other is available at our internet address, radio.cz. If you have any questions or comments, we are always happy to hear from you. Just write to us at english@radio.cz, on Facebook under Radio Prague, or, of course, by post to Vinohradská 12, 12099 Prague. From me, Christian Falvey. Thanks for listening.